Blog Talk Radio.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Who's that lady?
Anna! The Rand McCoy! Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
who's
come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. The Rand McCoy.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Welcome to the show. This is Anna, your host, Coach Anna McCoy on the Rand McCoy show on Woman Act Now Radio. I'm also here with my sidekick, Miss Shauna Stallworth, and we're going to be talking to you about Dream Busters today. We're going through the book Woman Act Now. And if you'd like to give us a call, you can do so at any time. And we'll see if we can take your call and let you join in with us. So we had a great call on last week talking about values. And actually my last live call in talking about values and different things like that. So today we are talking about Dream Busters. We talk about Dream Busters in the book, and there are six different Dream Busters that I talk about, but there are so many things that can derail your dream. And so we want to get you on target so that you can begin to do what you need to do. So it's really interesting. It's been a real interesting season and year, Shauna, just talking to various different people about you know, what's going on in the marketplace and what's happening. You know, how do you think this whole idea of talking about Dream Busters are going to be relevant today for our audience?
Well, you know what, when you think about it, we were just talking about the different businesses that are closing down. Certainly that was a dream. That was somebody's dream and somebody's vision, and unfortunately some things have happened to bust it up, to bust their dream. And so it's certainly relevant in this time for as it relates to that. And then you can think about the other things, as we've talked about in earlier calls and things of that nature and shows. We talked about how this is the season for businesses to start again and to thrive and to, you know, dreams to come alive. And so you have to kind of be focused in this season so that you won't get discouraged because of the economy and allow what's going on to be a dream buster for you as well. So it's relevant in both ways.
Well, you know, I am really, when I think about all of the different things that we do as it relates to Woman Act Now and seeing this dream live, we're in the same place that many of our members, many of our readers are in as it relates to being able to stay focused about your dream and being able to continue to move forward in spite of the obstacles. So we want to encourage you today is that this is an opportunity for you to birth your dreams. And you know, I don't even know what the last number was on the unemployment rate. It was somewhere in the numbers of 5 million, and there are 5 million people and many more than that who are actually thinking about, you know, what their next steps are, what, you know, caught in limbo, caught in a place as it relates to being able to transition or thinking that they might be the next in line or looking at the atmosphere and the attitude of their company and the people that they work with. And so I think today might be a relevant message about Dream Busters and how are we going to overcome the Dream Buster. So I'm going to start off with this first paragraph of the book. We talk about, I write about Dream Busters, and let me identify what a Dream Buster is.
Okay.
A Dream Buster is something that kills your dream. It takes the wind out of your sails before you even have the chance to start dreaming. Now, most of us have experienced one or more dream busters at some point in our life. They usually come from ingrained behavior patterns, wrong attitudes, or toxic relationships that affect our ability to think and act beyond our perceived limitations.
So we're going to talk about what are those things, what are these behaviors, what are our attitudes that might be stopping us from achieving our dream. And I talk about a brand new attitude in the book Woman Act Now in a later chapter that goes a little more in depth. And we've talked about attitude and how your attitude can begin to derail your dream, derail your passion. So we want you to understand that you know, this is to just bring insight for individuals to be able to really accomplish their dreams. That's good. Well, I know I can tell you, and just in thinking as you were talking, I can think about, you know, sometimes the dream busters, you talk about dream busters, a lot of people say that fear is a huge dream buster, and they say fear of failure. But as you were talking, I was thinking about, is it fear of failure or is it really fear of success? As you start thinking about what you can become and you're wondering if you can really do it or not. So is that really fear of failure or is that really fear of success? The whole, the pressure and to try to keep that alive and wondering if you can really achieve that and if you're really going to get the resources or if you're really going to make the right connections or if you're really going to be in the right season. Is this the right season? You know, you're doing something that you've always wanted to do and you get scared and you shrivel up, you shrink up, and you stop thinking about it, and the more you stop thinking about it, you start downward spiraling into this horrible pit. It's a terrible place to be. So how are you going to help people get out the pit, moving from fear to success and moving from, you know, that's a tremendous dream buster, certainly in this time, and let me take it to another step, is that fear, what's amazing about fear is that fear stops you from even trying.
It does.
You know, we hear often, you remember we had our opportunity at the Oprah Winfrey Show, mm-hmm. At Oprah's show, talking to the lady in the audience, and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where we go around the country, we hear this same experience from various different people about what fear is. What is it? False?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What is fear?
False. Is false accusations seeming to be real?
Well, Shauna,
that was not it.
I was close.
Fear is false evidence appearing real.
I was close.
I don't know how close you might have been, but it's like an acronym. I think you might have started with false.
I said false accusations appearing to be real.
Well,
but you know what?
What happened?
That doesn't spell out fear.
No, that doesn't spell out fear. That spells out F-A-A-R.
Far.
It's real far to get there. So we're just excited to be here today. And so we're talking about those dream busters. You're listening to Shauna and Anna McCoy. I'm the host of The Real McCoy Show with on Woman Act Now Radio. We are also broadcasting live if you want to watch us on mogulus.com. That's M-O-G-U-L-U-S on Woman Act Now TV. If you're a member of Woman Act Now, you can always go through the website and watch Woman Act Now TV, or otherwise you'll need to go to Mogulus, M-O-G-U-L-U-S, and look up Anna McCoy, and you'll be able to locate us live on the Internet. So we're going to continue to move forward. Talking about these dream busters, I've identified six dream busters.
Okay.
And, you know, and we may or may not get to all of them, but I tell you, we have plenty of material to do so today. So one is the no more pie syndrome. No more pie. We've talked about that. We've shared that with our members. We've talked as it relates to the no more pie syndrome. Is a woman really, you know, when you have a piece of, you have a whole pie, mm-hmm. and your life represents that pie.
Okay.
Or, you know, in some of our coaching exercises, we use the wheel of life is what it's called.
Okay.
And sometimes you just run out of pie. You don't have any more pie. And what we do is we take a client through the process of identifying all the pieces of pie. What does this piece of pie represent? What does that piece of pie represent? And what happens when that client begins to see that she's got all these pieces of pie, but there's always one more pie, one more slice of pie that she needs. Now, she finds herself in a situation, as I write about it in the book, is finding herself in a situation where she has to choose whether or not she's going to consume the pie for her own benefit, for her own dreams, for her own ideas, or she's going to continue to give those slices away and sacrifice her life as it relates for others, whether it's family, children. It's just like, it's like one more request. When will you be able to determine what's important and what's not important?
Well, what happens if she cuts smaller pieces of pie?
Well, she can do that as well, but again, that's a decision.
Okay.
And a part of the process is that if you have eight guests and you find out that you've got 10 coming to dinner, how do most of us handle that?
We cut smaller pieces.
We cut smaller pieces.
And then we make it up with some other type of garnish.
Yeah, so what's the benefit of doing that?
That you still get the result that you need,
and
everybody gets taken care of.
Well, that's how we live our lives, is trying to take care of everybody. But what about you? You had 10 guests, you make 11.
Oh, you know what, then I've done that before, then you just don't get any.
And you sit around, you're serving, and you're spitting in, and you're gathering, you're unnoticed in the process while everybody else is, oh, girl, this pie is good. Thank you so much. Girl, you can cook. You know, just different things like that. And eventually you have to say, not that anything's wrong with that, but a part of the dream buster, so the way the no more pie syndrome is a dream buster, is the fact that you don't have any pie left.
Oh.
And you've got to get to the place where you can be wise enough to know when to say yes and know when to say no.
Yeah.
Know when eight slices are enough, and the two people, maybe those people, they didn't RSVP like they were supposed to. So you weren't really prepared for them. But can you take, can you sit there and say, well, no, I don't have any more pie, and make them pay the consequence for their poor choice, rather than you accommodating them?
Well, what happens when you buy more than enough?
Well, that's not the case. Then it's not a no more pie syndrome.
Oh, okay. So you, and the
no
more pie,
you got plenty. But the strategy or the understanding of the no more pie is that you're always pressed. We're always pressed about what we can do, what we need to do. We're always being pushed to the wire to do one more thing, to take one more meeting, to go to one more soccer game, to do something. But when do we say enough is enough?
That's hard to do.
See, because, you know, when we think about the no more pie syndrome as a dream buster, we also have to consider many people want you to respond to their emergencies in life.
Yes.
And their emergencies may or may not come about, but most times may come about as a result of their poor decision-making. You know, their lack of planning, their lack of thinking through something. And so now everybody has to respond, and, you know, you're put on blast because somebody else didn't do what they were supposed to do. So at the end of the day, what do you do? How do you begin to maximize your opportunities to be able to achieve your dream? And that's what this is about. When we're talking about derailing your dream, you have to begin to think about, how is this possible? How can I be a person that can make a decision at the right time in the right moment so that I'm not caught holding an empty pie tin? And then you know what we do. What do? It's empty, but, you know, a little bit of that crust.
Start getting the crumbs.
You work on the crumbs, and you
whatever
think that you've done
you
well.
Have.
You think that this is good, that oh, I took care of everybody, I'm such a giver. But, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't give, but what I am saying is that wake up. I think it's time for us to now to begin to think about, let's pay attention to why we have 10 guests instead of 8. Okay, we invited 10, 8, I mean, we invited 10, I mean 8, but 10 shows up. So what happens to the extra 2? Can we identify, is this a result of my decision-making, or is it a result of someone else's decision-making?
So how do you handle it?
How do you handle it, Shauna?
That's tough. Well, no one, I mean, when you think, you know, when you relate it to guests, and then I'll pull it back to your life.
When you
relate it to guests, you hate to tell people that you didn't, you hate to embarrass others.
and you hate to say, well, I don't have enough.
Right.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
Right.
So just tell me the truth. You don't care about them people, embarrassing them people. It's you that you're concerned about.
Well, I do. I am concerned about the other people, too, because I don't want them to feel like, oh, well, I should have called because it's an uncomfortable situation, and I hate for people to be uncomfortable.
Oh, so that could be a dream buster in itself, trying to accommodate everybody else. That's all a part of the no more pride syndrome. You are just certainly being the prime candidate today. And then trying to sound like you, oh, well, I don't want to make people feel bad.
It's terrible. You know, you don't want people to feel uncomfortable. And that certainly is a dream buster because you try to accommodate as much as you can. You try to accommodate because you don't want people to, for me personally,
yes.
I don't like for people to be uncomfortable.
Okay, but so you're willing to take the fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's a dream buster for you.
Okay.
Something that you've got to work on.
Okay. Okay, so maybe. Now, how do I work on that?
Now, let's get away from just serving a piece of pie in the literal
sense. Okay.
I'm talking about all the pieces of pies that are being distributed in your life.
Mm-hmm.
See, you took it to a guest situation where we're right in that.
Right.
That's not where this is.
Well,
what we're talking about
uh-huh.
in the literal sense is that's an example that if you were in that situation,
yes,
which certainly brought out some issues.
Yes, I have a problem.
What's the problem?
That is it.
Of not being able to tell people no.
Yes. You know, I'm not sure why. I just don't like for people to be uncomfortable.
Is it that you don't like people to be uncomfortable, or you don't like to be uncomfortable as a result of confronting a person?
It may be both.
I'm pretty sure it's both. There's no way to put the blame on anybody.
It may be both.
Any particular person.
It may be both. It may be both because I try to work it. If I can work it out,
yes,
within me,
uh-huh.
Then they're okay, and then I just deal with it. It might not be the right way to handle it.
Yes.
But I try to do it that way so that, you know, I'm just constantly trying to be accommodating to others.
Okay.
You know, I can deal with me.
Well, that's what you sound like all the women.
Well, okay,
problem. That's the whole point of writing this, is that we all sound the same.
Yes.
This is what we say, the very things that you're talking about right now. This is what we say. We say, oh, well, I want to help somebody else. I want to help this person. I want to help that person. But I'm talking about your dream, your idea, your opportunities in life. And eventually, and not that you got to cut everything out,
mm-hmm.
but all this is that we talk about it's time for you to become much more conscious
mm-hmm.
about your behavior and your attitude
mm-hmm.
when it comes to your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a dream buster, being so nice and kind and stuff. You know what? The other thing says, listen, I invited you 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't respond, and now you're on my doorstep. I'm really happy to have you. But as a result of that, I didn't plan for you to be here. So if you don't get any pie, don't be upset. It's going to be all right. We're going to be still friends. Hey, you right now.
Oh, that is hilarious.
I know that's hard to do.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Well, we do it every month. Every month we have these Woman Act Now meetings,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, we ask our members, please let us know that you're coming. And nobody lets you know they're coming.
You know what? They're getting better.
Are they getting better?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, they're getting better. From last month and this month.
Yes.
We're getting better.
Because that's so important, because if you don't let us know you're coming,
mm-hmm.
then how can we prepare? Because I'm going to tell you, honey, well, if you didn't get nothing to eat and you got here at 7:45, we started at 6:30.
Yes.
And all the pie is gone. So just come on here and sit down and drink some water. So we can get on with this.
Yes.
So listen, if you're watching or listening by Blog Talk Radio, I want to encourage you to watch us live on Mogulus, Mogulus. We look like we've got several viewers that are watching us. We want to say hello to you, and we hope that your streaming is going well today. But you're listening to Coach Anna McCoy and Shauna Stallworth. We run the organization Woman Act Now. Shauna is the director of membership and a few other things. We wear many hats.
And I am also the author of Woman Act Now. So you're listening to Anna McCoy on the Blog Talk Radio, and if you're watching us live, we're glad to have you. So we're talking about dream busters today, those attitudes and behaviors that will literally derail your dream. What's the next one? Procrastination. Now, we all know about procrastination. In fact, I was listening to something this morning, and again, no, this was Billy Graham. Back in 1984, he's standing up on the podium. It was one of those TBN classics, and it was a Billy Graham crusade in some city across the country, and he's sitting there, and he's talking about procrastination, about your dream and your vision. Here we are in 2009, 25 years later, still talking about procrastination as it relates to your dream or your vision. I mean, you know what? Look, I got procrastination all around me. If I had a second camera, y'all could see it. Okay, there are stacks over here, stacks over there. And all that is procrastinated opportunity. But when we talk about your dream and how procrastination is a dream buster, it's about opportunity. It's about when we talk about, for instance, you know, a lot of people think they're lucky. A lot of people think that success comes from being in the right place at the right time, being prepared. And yes, it does. But one of the things that I find that's a real dream buster, a real deal breaker, is not responding to certain things in a timely manner. And that's what procrastination can do for you, or do to you. And what procrastination is really, you know what, not doing something you know to do when you should do it. One of the charges, we talked about dream busters with our members on Monday in our 15 Minutes to Destiny. Do you remember what I asked them to do by any chance?
Unfortunately, I do not. I will tell the truth today.
You know, why am I talking to Shauna people? Okay, I keep, Shauna spends most of her waking hours with me. You would think that she could just, you know, whatever I say, Shauna say it. Whatever, don't raise your hand right now, Shauna. You know what I'm saying? And I keep asking her and giving her these opportunities. And this is what I get. She's like, no, I'm not really sure what you said. Were you on the call, Shauna? I didn't call up Margie or some of my other people. You know what I mean? But Shauna, oh my God, what I did tell the lady, so I, before I forget, don't try to act like you remember now.
I'm just going to say to my credit.
No, you ain't got no credit. This is what we were just talking about. She don't have no pie.
Oh,
no more pie here. No pie available.
Yes, sir.
But what I did ask the ladies to do on Monday was what I asked them to do. Let's see here. What I asked him to do was, we were talking about procrastination. See, it just fell out of my head because I was messing with Shauna. But procrastination, to do at least three things that they procrastinated on, and to do those in that day, because I was talking, now y'all didn't forget what I was talking about, but I was talking about procrastination and how it will derail your dream. You might be on Blog Talk Radio, but and in the chat room, we got some technical challenges with our chat today. So I can't tell you to call in because I can't see that part either. So we're going to try to continue to get in there while we're on the show. So, but anyway, let me get back to this. Procrastination was. Procrastination really is just knowing you need to do something and you don't do it. So the charge to the women on Monday was, choose three things that you've been procrastinating on. They could be small things. Just get up and do it. For instance, I got three things on my desk, and when I finish, I'm going to just go and do it, okay? Mm-hmm. So what the only cure to procrastination is what?
It's to do what you need to do.
To do it now. It is to do it now. Let's be very clear about that. It is to do it now. If you don't do it now, then you still procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about different things about procrastination and what does it do to us. And again, when we procrastinate on things that are important, things that we need to do, it could be whether it's your bill paying, whether it's, you know, looking for a new job, whether it's filling out an admissions thing, whatever it is, or taking a test. Whatever that thing is, what normally happens to us, and I've seen this happen with many of our clients, is that when they begin to procrastinate, it really erodes their self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
in many areas of their lives and really keeps us from doing the things that we know to do. We're real passionate 1 week about a dream, and we say we're going to do something, and then we get beat up a little bit, and then you know what happens. Then we lose confidence. Our self-confidence really takes a blow. So when we're talking about procrastination, we want to encourage you to just do it now. Whatever that second, that one or two, three things that you need to do it when? Right now. So you can begin to take advantage of the opportunity to, to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so self-doubt. What is self-doubt? That's another dream buster.
Self-doubt is basically doubt is doubting yourself, doubting your ability to be able to perform and to produce.
And listening to those voices.
Yeah.
Those voices in your head, you know, saying that you can't do it, I can't do this, I can't do that. But at the end of the day, you can do a whole lot of things. Why? Because you're able, you're capable. How do we get you to overcome that place of self-doubt in your life? I think one of the greatest ways that you can begin to become more confident, or really not more comfortable, but let's say silence the voice of doubt in your life, is that you've got to start to either say or hear different things. So that you begin to internalize that. And there's one thing you have to do is you got to get some great people around you, or at least people who can confirm your reality.
Mm-hmm.
I was just at the NARAF convention in Florida this past week and had an opportunity to present Building Brand You to a number of individuals. And frankly, my audience was mostly men. And what was really interesting after this, after the event, you know, when it was over and people started asking questions, that was one of the questions. How do you overcome? How do you deal with people in your life? And that's going to take me right to our next dream buster. But one of the questions was, how do you deal with people who, in your circle of influence, who are speaking certain things to you? How do you deal with that? And it's not really what you want. It's making you doubt your own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think my answer was? Oh, see, you got self-doubt right now from our last conversation, huh?
Well, they need to cut it off.
Well, not
or
only
find a different circle of friends, or they need to be able to confront. Like if you're saying, well, Shauna, that's just a poor, that's poor.
Yes.
I should be able, because that's a voice too. So
yes.
I should be able to speak to that.
Yes.
Not speaking back at you negatively.
Yes.
But saying, well, is it poor or is it such and such and such?
Or perhaps have you thought of it this way?
Yes.
But what was interesting, I did. I said, you need to change your circle of friends, or you need to enlarge that circle of friends. And so as a result of that, what was really interesting to me is that this gentleman, this is what I'm talking about when we talk about your brand new relationship, is that you get relationships in your life that can mirror you, that can hold you accountable, that can encourage you. And it's a strange thing about criticism, is that, you know, for whatever, whether we're in leadership or wherever the case may be, for us to be able to accept criticism and to surround ourselves by individuals who can give us, let me throw this word in, constructive criticism.
Yes.
I'm not talking about foolishness and, you know, stuff like that. I'm talking about surrounding ourselves with the right people who have the wisdom to be able to really help and to guide us. And that's one of the ways that we can begin to overcome self-doubt. And I want to go back to criticism and learning how to accept criticism, how to hear criticism. My mentor taught me, okay, Nana, today's your day that we're going to just criticize you. Well, I didn't know what that meant till I experienced it. And basically it was constructive criticism, and there was a group of individuals at the table, people I worked with. This is a new environment for me, very different from a previous environment I was in. And here I was, thought I was doing everything that I could do. And then these people started talking about who they thought I was, and I kept saying, they don't really know who I am. But what I didn't understand, as they began to speak to us, and speak to me rather, and tell me what it was they disliked about me, or the criticism that they had, how I might have performed a task or did a certain thing, what I didn't understand is he was really teaching me how to hear humbly and accept the things that were true, discard the things that were not, and, you know, think through what people are saying about you so that you begin to understand how to hear and receive what's necessary. Because I thought, this is crazy. because he only allowed them to comment and allowed us to say thank you with no expression or anything. And that's probably the one of the most powerful things that you can embrace or learn how to do, is that when people criticize you, whether you believe it's constructive or not constructive, that you begin to just say thank you without expression. And we call that really becoming master of your emotion. And what's amazing about that is when other people talk about you or they say things about you, these are dream busters, because that perception of what does this person think about me? What are they saying about me? And when we really take on how people think and hear and act and all of those things and embrace that, then we really can find ourselves paying more attention, like that guy was saying, to the other people around us. But when we learn how to hear criticism and to reflect and to embrace and reject, then we can begin to just say thank you without explanation, without judgment, without expression. And it's amazing how it deflates the other party. Just totally, you know, wipes it out. It's just, what's the point? And then you have enough space that we can put space between your words and me when I say what? Thank you. That's what that does. It creates a little bit of space. So now you're thinking, okay, you're in the middle of dealing with a difficult person. And that person gets to talking about you, and you say, thank you. They don't know what to do with themselves, but it gives you the space you might need to recover and continue to move forward with your dream. And that was just a little bit of a side note. But you can visit us at womanactnow.com. Consider joining the organization. It is a coaching organization. You'll get online coaching to help you to stay committed to your dreams, to stay focused, to surround yourself with those people who can confirm your reality, who want to see the very best that you have to offer. And that's at womanactnow.com. And this is the book, Woman Act Now, Learn, Launch, and Live Your Dream, recently released in January. You can get it on Amazon.com. It's probably on, it may be on the Blog Talk area, or you can go to your local bookseller and buy the book. So you wanted to get to this part, the fourth dream buster. And remember, dream busters are dream killers. And these are things that will derail your dream, your vision. And really what they do is they actually cause you to stop moving. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're moving on a path to achieve that dream and to do what you need to do, they actually stop your motion. They become very impactful. Whether they stop you physically, emotionally, intellectually, or financially, they're dream killers. They stop the movement of your dream. Mm. And this next one is incredible.
Okay.
It's happening to everybody. Breaking news, everyone. Breaking news. This next one is so impactful. It's getting everybody, Shana.
Okay.
You know what it is?
Why don't you tell us, Coach Anna? We're excited. We want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Well, listen, we've been hearing this word. We've been hearing the word in the marketplace, this word called toxic assets.
Oh.
Well, guess what? We got toxic relationships. And when we talk about those toxic assets, when we talk about the financial industry and when you hear that terminology talking about how can you have a toxic asset, when you think of the word toxic, we know it's something that's not good for us. We know that it's something that can destroy the very makeup of a thing. It can literally change the composition of something. And what I mean by that, if you had acid, it's toxic. If you pour acid on cement, which is also a very durable piece of material, it's going to start to destroy and erode the actual concrete. So it's an amazing thing to me when I'm listening, toxic asset. An asset is something of value to you. Mm-hmm. So when we think about toxic assets, it's kind of an oxymoron. It just don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about toxic relationships, they just don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we have relationships that we're born into that can become toxic in our lives. And during the writing of this book, I was I had a few people read it, and they were real concerned about me talking about parental toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can have them with our parents, and we can also have them with our children, meaning that you become, you're no longer an asset to this relationship, meaning what you say, how you communicate, your behavior, your attitudes become toxic in the relationship. Now, I'm talking about it from the perspective of achieving a dream and a vision and being the very best that you can be in your life, but you have these toxic relationships. They could be with a girlfriend and a girlfriend, and the way I describe that toxic relationship in the book, early on in college, I realized that I was not going to have toxic relationships, and at the time I called them high-maintenance relationships.
Yes.
Until I began to understand, what does this mean? And what I mean by it, it's like any relationship that begins to really drag you down, take from you, begin to erode the very confidence or the erode the person of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Most people are afraid to do the inventory, though, Sean.
Yes.
Because they don't want to what? It's almost like you and the no more pie syndrome. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yes.
And we're saying, okay, we only have one life. And I may be harder, and people can say I might be harder on this and that, that Anna, you just like that. You can talk to people. But I think I'm a very fair person, and I try to be thoughtful and mindful when I have to deal with confrontations.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to also insulate myself and my opportunities from toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get to the place where we recognize them as such so that we can begin to handle them accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk about the toxic relationship that you have with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that we only have so much time in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us are carrying relationships into seasons in our lives that season for that relationship is over. But we want to hold on to it because we want to be nice to people. We want to accommodate people. We want to be kind and forgiving. We want to be considerate. But yet there are so many things that we need to do in our own life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, let's say, for instance, you've been changing. You've been changing your mindset. You've been shifting your paradigm. You've been working hard. Maybe you joined Woman Act Now. And boy, just you're inspired. You're enthusiastic about moving forward in all of these different things. And you still have a relationship that doesn't understand. Every time you invite her, she refuses to come. Every time that you talk about all these great things and how you're progressing in your life,
mm-hmm.
she wants to remind you of what you did together.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know why you think you all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to start to recognize, are these relationships becoming toxic? How are they adding to me? One of the things I asked this audience in Florida was, what would it profit me to know you? What would it profit me to know you?
That's heavy.
Well, let me tell you where I got that from, Sean. Early, years ago, I was in ministry, and one of the pastor's daughters
mm-hmm.
had gotten into an extramarital relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And another member of the church came to me, and she said, well, I heard that so-and-so did this, and what do you know? And I said to her, what would it profit you to know that? Do you understand the question
yes.
now?
Yes.
So now she looked at me, and she couldn't give me an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
So then I start to ask that question, what would it profit me to know you?
Right. That's good.
Go ahead.
What you're really asking is what benefits out of this relationship? What is going to benefit? What benefits are we going to reap from being in relationship with each other?
But that's a scary question, isn't it?
It's only scary if you when you look at it too deeply. If you look at it with maturity,
yes.
and just trying to it's a season for it, I guess. If you look at it in maturity and say, you know what would it profit you? If someone were to ask me that, it would profit you. You would always be encouraged. You'd always be loved. You'd always have support.
Mm-hmm. So when we think about that and asking and trying to get a measurement of the relationships
mm-hmm.
that we're in, what is it profiting you to know these people in your life?
It's valuable because you need to know that, because every season, as we were talking earlier, you need to know that you have people in your circle who are supposed to be with you in that season. As because if you're a productive type person, you need encouragement. You're going to need support. You're going to need people. If you're a spiritual person, you're going to need people that's willing to pray for you. If you are a motivational type person, you're going to need people that's going to be able to motivate you. You're going to need good wisdom. You know, you may need resources and connections and things of that nature. You're going to need all of that. And as you're moving forward, you want to surround yourself with individuals who are forward thinking, that they're moving, they're doing these types of things, and that they can provide that for you and that you can provide that for them. It's give and take. You're not just looking for relationships where they can just give to you.
Absolutely.
You're looking for relationships where it can be a give and take type thing, where this is really something where we're moving together. You're not draining me. I'm not draining you. But we can move in the same direction together.
Well, you know what's amazing? I always think about, you know, when we're thinking about relationship and constantly, you know, pushing these women to a higher level of thinking, of understanding, of engaging. Mm-hmm. Now, these questions are tough questions. You know, what would it profit me to know you? What do I bring to the table? What are you bringing to the table? Are you adding? Are you multiplying? Or are you dividing and subtracting to this? Because
mm-hmm.
when we start to ask those questions, it can be painful. It can be lost. It can be broken, severed relationships. Why? Because we're asking that question of calling the other person in the relationship to bring it to an even higher standard of accountability. And I know the women must get tired of me. Don't ask her nothing.
Because
if you ask her, she going to ask you a question.
Right. But you know what, Coach Anna, you do that without doing it. And what I mean is that people ask that question without asking the question. What is it profiting me to know you?
Mm-hmm.
You ask that question without verbalizing it, but you do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now, what you're saying is that maybe it might benefit you to really ask the question instead of trying to search out and test and see
mm-hmm.
if this is really going to be a profitable relationship for me.
So I hope you're hearing us well today. We are talking about those things that will derail your dream and derail your vision. And it is one of those dream busters is bad relationships, you know, toxic relationships. What about those relationships at work?
They're the same. You want to make certain that it's going to benefit your business,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to benefit what you're doing, that they're moving in the same direction, that they're focused, that their mindset is right, that it's centered around what you're trying to do, and that they're not on the computer looking at Walt Disney.
Well, you know, Walt got a good movie coming out.
Really?
Called Boat, about a dog. You know I'm going to see that.
That movie, it's already out.
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was
did
already out.
Did I miss
out.
It?
I think you did.
Oh, well, I just heard about
they
it. There you go.
They were talking about that a while back.
Oh, well, see, I'm not in the know on entertainment.
But it's but you can probably still, you might be able to rent it now.
Oh, can I get on DVD?
You may be able to. Check it out on DVD.
Look at that. Y'all, we didn't lost focus because I'm going to watch that movie with my dog. But going back to Dream Busters, taking an inventory of your relationships, reviewing every relationship in your life. And you know what? This is simply just a higher standard. Is taking your relationship, taking your life seriously when it comes to birthing your dream. I mean, there are seasons for everything, you know. It's interesting, when you got married, Shauna, and I'm sure it definitely happened to me when I got married 11 years ago, is that marriage is such an unusual union to me. It's very different, like you, if you're dating and you get a boyfriend and you kind of disappear for a little bit, whether or not this thing is going to work or it isn't going to work, your friends are tolerant. You know, they're like, oh, she got a date, she got whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you get married, it's a real interesting process because there's that whole process of cleaving.
Mm-hmm.
And these relationships in your life, unless you are really smart about them and prevent them from neglect, you have to work at it. because you can lose a lot of relationships
yes,
when you get
ma'am.
Married.
Yes, ma'am.
Thinking that other people should understand that you just got married and, you know, you need time to get in your relationship
mm-hmm.
and different things like that. And that's why relationships are seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to always remember to work that bridge
mm-hmm.
as much as we can in order to really maximize our relationship. So do an inventory of the relationships in your life. Identify the people who are planting fruitful seed in your life from that relationship. And that's why, what would it profit me to know you? I was talking to my sister Sonia recently, and she had her book club meeting in Corona, California, and they were talking about everything begins with a seed. Every word you plant is a seed that will grow something, or it'll kill something. It'll, you know, it'll strangle. But we have to see who's planting fruitful seed
mm-hmm.
in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we have it? If I'm a person that's willing to give it, why can't I have it?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to accept the drama that people want to give me?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You don't.
No, I don't, and I don't. And so at the end of the day, I think when we think of these relationships, we want to make sure that we review them. Number two is we want to identify the people who are planting that fruitful seed in our lives. And we want to surround ourselves around people who can confirm our reality and encourage us to achieve our dreams. You know, we've had our conversations with Coach where we've talked to individuals about relationships and how they fit into that relationship, what they do,
mm-hmm.
That they have to handle within a family structure, feeling an obligation that I have to deal with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, you see, some of this stuff we ain't going to deal with
mm-hmm.
because either you're going to bring your relationship up a notch or, you know what, I'm going to see you less often and maybe never.
That's true.
You hear what I'm saying, people? So we finally got our Blog Talk Radio chat on. So if you're listening to us by Blog Talk Radio, you can always send us a chat. So we want to thank you for doing that. We were talking about the toxic relationship, another dream buster. And this is one that I really, really think is very, very important.
Okay.
And it's that dream buster of lack of self-credibility. We often look at other people, and just like we talked about relationships, we look at other things. Maybe we don't have enough time. Maybe we don't have enough money. Maybe we don't have the right relationship. All of these are factors in keeping us from achieving our dream. And so the one that I think is really, really a dream buster is not having self-credibility, is not being a woman or a man of your word, and keeping your agreement. So, see, the key to this is mastering what you're willing to say yes to and what you're willing to say no to. And if you can learn to begin to master that, oh, my gosh, now you're talking about an amazing opportunity. Is that most of us, we can increase our self-credibility immediately by just saying no. Just saying no. See, what we do is we overcommit to things. We overcommit our word to whether it's activities, whether it's something I'm going to do. We overcommit. And we have to figure out a way to figure out, you know, now we got procrastination going. We got self-doubt going. Now we have no credibility because we got a poor track record. But I'm talking about your credibility to yourself, meaning that, you know, some of our dreams only we know. And we feel really great about that because many of us, we thrive in knowing that no one knows
mm-hmm.
and that we are doing ourselves a favor by not sharing that dream. And 'cause, you know, you often hear, honey, you need to be careful who you share your dream with because, you know, some people, you know, there's some naysayers. And I agree with that. But then another part of us is also, well, I'm not going to tell anybody because then I don't have to be accountable. So we see accountability as an outward expression rather than an inward expression.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we lack credibility with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage you in the book Woman Act Now is that credibility is an important characteristic in business and is equally as important in your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Personal credibility can either propel you forward or preclude the fulfillment of your dreams. Your dreams are hindered or fulfilled based on how you keep your word to yourself. See, and then now what have I done? What I've done is I said, okay, I want you to think about self-credibility and accountability as an inward responsibility. Okay. That makes sense?
It does.
Whereas most of us, we perceive credibility, that I'm credible as long as I'm responding to someone else and I'm keeping my word with someone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, hit the brakes, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to start being credible to yourself mm-hmm. so that you begin to see more of your dreams live, more of your ideas mm-hmm. become a reality, because you've been hiding in the background. You've been hiding and waiting for, you know, you tell a little bit. You want to keep this a secret so you don't have to be accountable. And so I'm here to tell you, the alarm has been sounded, that it is now time for you to become more credible with self. And being credible with self is going to get you so much farther than you trying to be credible with people on the outside. Because what will happen if you become so credible with yourself, trying to be credible with others is a given. It's an automatic, because you honor yourself enough to be credible with you. You honor what you believe in. You honor what you feel. You honor your inspiration more than you honor others. Then you're more able to deal with that no more pie syndrome, because you've learned the wisdom to say yes and no at the appropriate times. You've learned the wisdom to confront when necessary. Why? Because you're so credible with yourself. And if you can embrace that and grab a hold to that, for instance, a lack of credibility to self falls in the same category as low self-esteem and self-doubt. You have probably said to someone whose confidence you were trying to inspire, "My word is my bond." You trying to do this business deal, or you want to develop a relationship, you're inspiring confidence in another person when you say, "My word is my bond. I can count on you." Yes. Remember we talked about values. I'm dependable. I'm accountable. I'm, I am concerned about other people. I'm a team player. All of those are meant to inspire confidence in who? In others.
Okay.
In others. You know, so when I say that, when I share with you my values, it's meant to inspire that confidence. Oh, Anna's a good person. Anna sounds like she's a woman of her word. Anna sounds like she's dependable. Anna sounds like she's accountable. Anna sounds like she's a woman of character. Anna sounds like she's a woman of integrity. So that you now feel more comfortable to engage in relationship with me. So when we meet somebody, what do we want to know about them? What are we sitting? We've been married too long trying to figure that out, I guess. But you understand what I'm saying? But what do we want to know? We start asking those questions. Mm-hmm. You know, we started watching. Is he on time? Mm-hmm. Is he always late? Mm-hmm. He's not responding. He's not respecting me. Mm-hmm. You know, we start making those value judgments. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about credibility, what about you? And so I continue to write here, how often do you keep the bond that you make to yourself? Examine your track record in following through with the goals that are important to you versus following through with things you promise to do for others. Oh, yeah, that's the, honey, let's just put this on the T-chart, okay? Let's put it on the T-chart, and one side says... One side says self-credibility. The other one says credibility.
Okay.
Credibility is simply what others perceive you as, that your word is your bond, that you are being credible, you're being a person of integrity in the marketplace. But then go to your self-credibility. Self-credibility is going to examine all of those ideas and dreams and desires that you have in your own life and your ability to be able to achieve them versus all of the things you've done, all the slices of pie that you did for somebody else, that you gave, that you served, that you prepared for other people. Now, I want you to see which one of those is carrying the biggest weight. You might have set a goal for it, but did you finish it? Can you put that on your chart? Did you finish it? And really, that's what life is about. Life is about finishing what you've been sent here to do, whatever it is. I mean, why are we living? You got to ask yourself that question. Why are we living? Are we here just for here? And some of us can be. But at the end of the day, we won't finish
right.
when it comes to life and death. We will only finish small projects. We will only finish small things, small relate. You know, when I'm not talking small as in small, but we're just a little bit a part of this big picture. And we've been given little assignments along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll finish those assignments along the way. But when our time comes, we probably still won't be finished. Because mm-hmm. we might be in the middle of something. I was on my way somewhere.
Right.
I was in the middle of sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan to get up at 8 and I die at 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when it comes to finishing, we will never finish. We will just be finished. I know that was kind of out there, but anyway, that's quite all right, honey.
No, I got you.
So when we talk about that credibility, that voice inside of you that keeps speaking to you, we hear her. She come talking to me this morning.
What she said?
And here I am thinking I'm by myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I'm by myself, and here she come whispering to me. She's this voice, this inner voice that whispers, bidding you to act, to produce. Great results. We need to listen to her. She'll guide us in the right, just because she told me, do this, do that. I was doing something yesterday, I think it was Tuesday or something. I had a meeting with a friend of mine, and the little boy, she came to me. That voice is always trying to tell you what's going on in your future, tell you how you can better prepare yourself, tell you, and that's the part of self-credibility that we have to engage with, that we have to become familiar with, so that we can be credible to ourselves. And she says, you should go get the book and put it in the car. This is the day before the meeting, so you don't forget it. And I'm thinking, I'm talking to me. But credibility is talking to me, because just being credible with myself. As soon as I got to my friend, she says, well, where's my book? I said, she didn't listen. She didn't listen at all. She was trying to tell me, and I told her, I said, girl, the voice told me to put the book in the yesterday. But no, I figured I could do it when? Tomorrow. Because that was another voice. And that was the voice of procrastination. And these are the simple things in life, not just some big thing. You want to start some corporation. You want to do this and that. No, I'm just talking about the simple things in life that we have to become credible to. So we have about 2 minutes left, and we just want to encourage you to be women and men, because we do have
mm-hmm.
men that listen and watch us, to your dreams and your visions and the opportunities that are before you, and make life happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and instead of letting it happen, make it happen by being proactive
mm-hmm.
about some of the things that you're doing in your life. So I'm really excited about it, and I want to, this last minute, make a plan and act on it by keeping your word to you. Keep the commitments you make to yourself by actually acting on them, acting upon them. Doing this will bring you joy, peace, strength, and love. You will be encouraged to achieve the big and small things alike that matter most to you. This inner voice that was also screams, woman, act now. So man, if you're listening, he screams to you too, man, act now. We don't want to exclude you, because you know what? Everything we talk about in Woman Act Now is beneficial to both men and women. We just encourage you to take off the W-O, and it will apply to you. So if you enjoyed listening to us today, be sure to mark us a favor. Be sure to mark us as a favorite. In addition to that, we will also encourage you to visit Woman Act Now. Become a member so that we can encourage you to overcome the dream busters in your life. And there are many more. There are a couple of more dream busters in the book, Woman Act Now. You want to get your copy, again, from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. If you're in the Dallas area, please join us for our monthly meetings. They're the last Friday of the month. Of each month, and on occasion we change it due to travel, but most times it's pretty consistent. If you're in the Atlanta area, please go to our Woman Act Now site and see the event. We're going to be at Mama Nim's, y'all. You know how we used to say that? Come on, we can go over to Mama Nim's and eat. Well, the name of the restaurant is Mama Nim's, and you all can join us there as well. This weekend from 12:30 to 2:30, that's Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to be there live, by the way, talking about Woman Act Now, and I am crazy in person. I'm a little reserved today, so we hope to see you soon, and if you've heard us on the radio, please let us know, and be blessed. Bye-bye.